Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men.
God's children turned away from His light. For generations they walked in darkness. But arise, shine, for your light is coming.
Among us a short while, but He brought a light that would last forever. As His days on earth grew shorter, He spoke to His followers with a new urgency. "You are going to have the light just a little while longer," He told them. Put your trust in the light while you have it. For Jesus knew he must soon go to Jerusalem, where betrayal and death awaited him.
"This shall never happen, Lord," cried one of his chosen. But Jesus said to Peter, "You do not have in mind the things of God. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross." Then Jesus turned and walked into the late afternoon shadows.
3 short years, that's all they had. And although the disciples must have thought everything was ending, it was really the beginning. For even as they looked back, they could not help but reach out to what lay ahead.
The day had finally come as Jesus and his disciples entered Jerusalem.
Crowds had gathered. They laid their garments in the road and waved branches.
"Hosanna, Hosanna," they shouted. "Blessed is the coming kingdom."
Time seemed to move faster now. The week rushed ahead. Voices that had blessed his coming fell silent. They were replaced by angry shouting. It was the shouting of men whose power was threatened by a kingdom they didn't understand. The days grew shorter as the nights grew longer and darker.
During his last evening on earth, Jesus and his disciples shared a final meal. He warned them that the Prince of Darkness was coming. "He has no hold on me," Jesus said, "but the world must learn that I do exactly as my Father commands." And so, the long night began.
Under the cloak of darkness, one friend would betray his master. Another would deny him. A secret midnight trial gave way to another at dawn. A mob, blinded by fear and suspicion, called for his execution. And Jesus Christ, the sinless man, was sentenced to die for the sins of mankind.
The light of the world, crucified for the darkness of the world.
On the cross of Jesus, my eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart, with tears, two wonders I confess. the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness.
Undeserved favor, he's taken my sin
also led out with him to be executed, one on his right, the other on his left. It was the third hour. Above his head they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "Save yourself. Come down from that cross if you are the Son of God." So did the chief priests and the elders of the temple. Even the robbers on either side taunted him.
"Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing."
At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." A man filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone," he said. "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But when he had drunk, Jesus said,
"It is finished."
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Took the blame.
our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, though he was God, took the form of a servant, humbling himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
The body was wrapped in linen and placed in a tomb cut from stone, in which no one had yet been laid.
Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will never die.
The light of that first resurrection morning shines all the way to eternity. For this is the glorious promise of Easter, that through faith we will share in Christ's resurrection. Our bodies, which are perishable, will be raised imperishable. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Lord Jesus, you are the beginning and the end. All we have and all we are, we owe to you. You loved us, sought us, and saved us by dying on a cross. You defeated the grave and secured heaven as our eternal home. We thank you for your unconditional grace. We praise you for your unwavering mercy. And we join with all creation to await your return, saying, "Come, come, Lord Jesus." Thank you.
holy hush all over as I walked into the room. And as I stood before him face to face, I was gloriously made new. There was a great and awesome presence and a light bright as any day. And as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say, all rise, all rise, to stand before the throne in the presence of the Holy One.
Celebration we're having here today, and our choir's done a great job, led by Charlie and the guys in the sound booth, and thank them for all the great work they've done in prepping for this. But what a great story. And that's what we're here today, to celebrate this story of Jesus Christ, a man who came to this earth to live, to die, to go to resurrect again and head off to heaven. But the question we, as we started this morning off, was, what are you going to do with Jesus? And one of the questions, as we modify that question, what do you believe about Jesus? Interesting, some reading this week I was looking at, and it said there are three facts that historians almost all believe about Jesus. One of them is that, first, is that Jesus Christ lived some 2,000 years ago and taught in the Middle East. Well, that's kind of a historical fact that everyone agrees. Secondly, that Jesus was crucified, was buried, and the tomb was empty on Sunday morning, even though it was guarded by the soldiers. How it got empty, they're not saying, but basically they historically agree, yes, Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and the tomb was empty. Then the third thing they believe, and this is not definitely not last, it's last but not least, and the idea is that then the disciples took over after he died, they believing that he had resurrected and that he was in heaven, started preaching and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ, and as a result, transformed the entire world, or impacted the world. Changed our calendars, changed our culture, changed so much of the world around us. Now, it's interesting, the first two facts everyone agree with. And the third one they agree with, but there's a problem with that. For you see, the most historians believe that the disciples had something to do with the body of Jesus. We know it wasn't the enemies of Christianity that had the body, because all they had to do was take that body and prove it, bring it out. Wherever they buried it, wherever they stashed it, here it is. This guy you said rose from the grave, here's his body. He'd been seen so many people, it would be very obviously this guy's dead, he's gone, and it would have passed. But no, they say the disciples took the body and did something with it. Now what's interesting is now those disciples literally for the rest of their lives went out and teach, preach, taught, sacrificed their lives. In fact, most of them died horrendous deaths as a result of their beliefs in a lie. We have a problem with that. And there's a lot of things that historians believe that we believe a little bit of, but we believe a whole lot more. So we're here today to celebrate because we not only believe that Jesus Christ lived and taught some 2,000 years ago, he was God. Secondly, he did die on the cross on that Friday. He was buried in a tomb. That tomb was sealed and was guarded by soldiers, but Sunday morning the tomb was empty because he had already risen from the dead. And so that's what we're here to celebrate today. Now, if you're here today and you're here because some friend has brought you, somebody has invited you to come, and you're saying, well, come and celebrate Easter with us, and you're a patriotic American, and Easter is a great patriotic day, or at least a day that's celebrated in America, and it's a holiday, and it's a time when more people will be in church, so hey, I'll go to church with you and see about the story you're doing. Well, we just told you the story. We just told you the story of Jesus Christ, of who he was and what he did and how he's so important to us. And if you think about it, this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why it's the biggest celebration day we have. Because Christmas is important. Christmas is the day where Christ came to this earth, and not as a king, not in royalty, but as a little baby born of poor parents, born in a manger, didn't even have enough money for the inn, couldn't get into the inn, and had to be out in the stall with the animals. Then lived as a carpenter. Then the last 3 years of life, preaching and teaching around Israel. But he was the Son of God. So we celebrate Christmas. Then we celebrate Good Friday like we did here. A great day where Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's the time where he paid our sins, paid for our sins, took the shame. And then, but today is the great day because he didn't stay dead very long. Just 3 days, and he was God of the grave. And he rose, and he's in heaven now. And that's the great celebration we have. Now, I have to tell you a little secret here. Now, some of you already know this, but I'm not a real music person. Now, I enjoy the choir, I enjoy the orchestra, and I enjoy music in a general way, but I enjoy it a little bit different because I have this thing called tone deafness. And if I ever stand beside you in a worship service, I want to apologize now. Because if I start singing very loud, it probably doesn't sound too good. The fact is, my wife, who is a musician and enjoys music very well and has got a very good ear, sometimes when I'm singing, I get a little bit loud, I can feel her get tense. Now, if there were just the two of us, she wouldn't get tense, but she knows there's other people around me thinking, oh no, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good. And so I kind of quiet down a little bit and don't sing as loud when she's around. But I enjoy the music. But I don't enjoy it the way other people do because I can't hear it as well. And I'm one of those guys, like a lot of people who have an iPhone, and I have it completely full of stuff. Now, mine is not full of music because I'm not a music person. It's full of books and Bibles and audio tapes and all this stuff like that I listen to. But there are a dozen songs on my iPhone. And I listen to them a lot different than most people do. My wife has over 500 on her iPhone. And when she gets ready to play music, she picks what mood, and she's got them all set in those, and where a whole bunch of stuff is mood for this or mood for this. Or she's outside working and needs some energy. She cranks it up and does something else. And she's got this all set together. It's very important for her. But I don't hear the music well, so I listen to a song, and I do it a whole lot different. I stick it in, or I turn the thing on, and there's a little button you can push for it to play over and over and over again. And because there's one song on there that they sang today, and that was called The Power of the Cross. I have 12 songs, all they are. And I listened to that song 38 times yesterday, over and over again. Now, my wife drives her crazy when we're in the car and I'm doing that. So I usually put my headphones on when I'm even that. But the idea is that I want to listen to the words. I want to hear those words over and over again. And there's four phrases in that song that sum up our celebration. They go like this. Christ became sin for us. We have to realize that as human beings, we are flawed. Even in the best environment, we don't do well. We're sinners from our core nature. In fact, there's one of the things about society today that says, well, if you just give a guy a good job, we'll give him a little bit of opportunity, he'll be good. No, he won't. He's going to rob, steal, and cheat like the rest of us do if we can get away with it. So we are sinners. And the song says, Christ became sin for us. On that cross, as a perfect human being, as a perfect Son of God, as a perfect God, He bore our sins. Secondly, it says, He took the blame and bore the wrath. He was blameless. There's not one of us in this room that he can even say, this week we were blameless. I know I can't. Not even close. He took the blame. He took the wrath of God on His shoulders. And we, in the last phrase of that, those little four little phrases, we stand forgiven at the cross. That's why we have in our worship center three crosses up on front. Two of them depict the two soldiers, the two bad guys who were there with Christ, but the center one depicts Christ. It's a picture, it's a memory tool for us to remind us that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. But it's also an empty cross because it celebrates the fact He's not there anymore. It was an event in history that happened. It took place a couple thousand years ago. But He's off that cross. He's in heaven right now. He's actually building a place for us, for those who are going to live with Him forever. So as I close with the question I started with, what are you going to do with Jesus? How do you react to the truth? What do you believe about Jesus? And as the choir comes and sings a reprisal song, a closing song, we want you to continue to think about that. And a couple ways you can respond. One, there's going to be some of us from the choir going to be up here at front, and we'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions, just come on up, and we can greet you and talk with you. We can chat with you, whatever you want to do. If you want to come and pray with us, that's fine too. Whatever you wish. Or if you can take one of those little cards that's in the pew in front of you, put your name on it, ask some questions. We can contact you discreetly this week or however you wish. Stick it in one of those boxes, like I said, on the way out. Or if nothing else, just put your name on there and say, pray for me about this. And we will. But we want to ask the question. We want to close with the question. What are you going to do with Jesus when you leave this building today? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank You for the great privilege of coming here and being in this great celebration, this great party, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. Everyone believes that. But why it's empty, we believe because You're in heaven. You rose from the dead. You're in heaven. And You're now sitting at the right hand, building us a place to spend eternity with You. In this name we pray. Amen.
The wonder of the cross gives way to the miracle of the ages.
The cross, once reviled as an instrument of death, becomes the symbol of hope and redemption as Jesus is resurrected from the dead.
Nothing since the foundation of the world has the impact of Jesus walking out of that garden tomb.
All that death had shattered, the resurrection restored.
All that sin had tarnished, the resurrection renewed.
Since that first glorious Easter, believers have greeted one another with words that still echo with unsurpassed joy.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. He is risen indeed.
He's risen, hallelujah. He's risen, hallelujah. King of Kings, He's risen.